Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tarot for a Troubled Time, the podcast in which we reflect on our experience of living through the COVID-19 pandemic using the cards of the tarot. I'm your host, River Rose. Well, friends, I hope the end of the summer or winter, depending on where you are, is treating you well and that you're safe and healthy. I'm grateful to say that the podcast now has listeners in 7 countries, the U.S., Canada, the UK, the UAE, Germany, Ireland, and Australia. Wherever you are and whenever you're listening, I want to thank you very sincerely for joining me on this tarot journey, and I want to invite you to connect with me on Twitter and Instagram so that I can get to know you as well. I'm at Call Me River Rose on both those platforms. I've had a tiring week this week, but I'm grateful to say that it has gone pretty well. My elderly father had a procedure to remove some blockages in his arteries this week, and he came through it very well and is already better than he was before he had the procedure. I had the chance to spend time with my mom, who's in her late 80s and is severely disabled. Even given her condition, she's very sweet and not very demanding, and I'm grateful to have this rare opportunity to spend time with her. And I had the chance to see my 14-year-old niece, an incredible athlete who received her black belt in karate before her 10th birthday, play in a socially distanced softball game. I got to see her pitch for the first time, and she also hit 3 triples, helping her team to win the game. Speaking of socially distanced, this game of hers I went to was my first public outing since I finished quarantining, and other than the people directly involved in the game, I was the only person wearing a mask and socially distancing. What's up with that, people? I mean, I'm in an area right now where COVID hasn't been as serious a problem as my home in New York City, but I don't really understand the total lack of regard for these basic guidelines that are helping us beat back this virus until there's a vaccine. And I can see that the part of the world I'm living in right now isn't unique, as large anti-mask protests have been happening throughout North America and Europe. In Italy, which is where I was born and was one of the worst hit countries in the Western world at the beginning of the pandemic, thousands gathered to protest mask wearing. You know the reasons they gave. I'm sure you've heard them before. We don't know if the masks work. This is an infringement on my freedom. It's unhealthy. The coronavirus is fake. Blah, blah, blah. And terrifyingly, in Germany, far-right extremists gathered to protest the mask, saying, "Masks make us slaves." While millions of blacks in the Americas and Africa and anyone with a conscience really fucking roll their eyes so far back into their head, they nearly knock themselves over. As I record this, we've had over 27 million cases of COVID around the world, and we're nearing 900,000 deaths. If you think about the ramifications of those numbers, this virus is disrupting and destroying hundreds of millions, billions of lives. And yet far too many of us still don't understand that, like it or not, we are all in this together, that this virus respects no borders, and that therefore we really all share the same home, planet Earth, and we have to take care of it and of each other. And you know, this thought leads me to an even more ominous thought, which is that COVID-19, as devastating as it is only a dress rehearsal for an even bigger challenge that humanity should have been dealing with for some time now, climate change. If we can't get our shit together with COVID, I think we really have no chance to reverse the rapid warming of the Earth's atmosphere that is already causing devastation around the world. So really, this is our one chance to make lasting changes that will have an impact on future generations. And by that, I mean on how many actual generations of humans there will be. These things were swirling around in my mind as I spent my 3rd week away from home, home being New York. And since this place I'm now in is also a place where I've spent half my life, and since it's also not the place where I was actually born, I find myself thinking a lot about home. I find myself missing home and then reminding myself that I've actually spent more time living in this place where I am now, Canada, than I have in the US, and that Canada is still the only place where I am a citizen, because in the US, I am still considered an immigrant. And of course, in the America we're living in now, immigrants along with Black Americans, which if you add us all up, isn't that most of us, have been made out to be undesirable and downright dangerous by a so-called president who throughout his political career has said that most Mexicans who were coming to the US were rapists and drug dealers, that Muslims should be banned from being in the country, that a caravan of tens of thousands of gang members and criminals was going to invade the US from the south, that immigrants from quote shithole countries unquote like Haiti shouldn't be let in. And he's continued to insist on a bullshit political symbol to save the so-called good Americans from immigrants by insisting on his fucking wall, the border wall with Mexico. I won't go on, because I believe that if you're listening to this podcast and you've heard other episodes, you could probably list these travesties as well as I can. So I'll move on to the topic for this week, the topic of home. This week, I wanted to ask the tarot, how can I go home again? Because I thought that home is not only a place, it's also a state of mind. And I think that for many, particularly right now, it's also a time in the past, before we knew about COVID, before gathering together was dangerous, and everything from work to travel and doctor's visits were less complicated. Remember in The Wizard of Oz that Dorothy and her dog Toto were transported by a tornado to a land called Oz? There she meets some lovely beings, a lion, a scarecrow, and a tin man, and a couple of witches, one of whom is like most of the witches I know in real life and protects and guides Dorothy along her adventure, and the other who is in serious need of therapy and wreaks as much havoc as humanly possible. Anyhow, I won't retell the story because you probably know it. And if you don't, then I think you should turn off this podcast right now and find the novel or the movie and learn the story. My point is, in The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy and Toto are displaced against their will by this extreme weather event. They're kind of like climate change refugees, aren't they? And all they want to do is feel at home. But they are forced to combat evil flying monkeys, an asshole witch, and go on this quest to try to get back to Kansas with these lovely but vulnerable beings to see this wizard, who turns out to be a bit of a sham, but who teaches them a valuable lesson in the end. That each of us has the magic within us to get what we want. And if we want to go home, as Dorothy does, all we have to do is cast a spell that reminds us that, in the words of the story, there's no place like home, and we can wake up there. So in the spirit of The Wizard of Oz, I'd like to figure out how to cast our own little spell today by considering, how can I go home again? Whether it's back to a specific feeling of safety or of love or of social connection or comfort, or maybe it's an actual physical home. Home is a place, but it's also a metaphysical place that we can't always travel to. So this is the question we're asking. How can I go home again? And we're doing a two-card spread this week. The first card will indicate something we need less of, and the other something we need more of. Less of this, more of that. And we've used this spread before. I liken it with a cleansing breath, out with the bad air, in with the good. So I drew two cards and I got the Wheel of Fortune and Strength reversed, okay? The Wheel of Fortune and Strength reversed. Okay, even though we pulled only two cards, these are big cards. Two major arcana cards, sweeping cards that remind us of the big themes and the archetypes that shape our lives. Let's look at the thing we want a little less of, the Wheel of Fortune. In the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, the Wheel of Fortune shows a giant wheel floating in the sky. The Wheel of Fortune is the number 10 card of the major arcana, and remember, 10 is the number of completion or transcendence. Now, the unpronounceable name of God, according to Hebrew tradition, is inscribed on the wheel's face, as are the letters T-O-R-A, thought to be a version of the word Torah, meaning law, or tarot, or even rota, Latin for wheel. The card is full of other symbols. The alchemical symbols for mercury, sulfur, water, and salt are on the wheel, which are the building blocks of life. And around the wheel are a number of beings swirling around. There's a snake, the Egyptian god Typhon, the god of evil, and Anubis, the Egyptian god of the dead, who welcomes souls to the underworld. And on the top of the wheel sits the Sphinx, representing knowledge and strength. Finally, at the four corners of the card are four winged creatures, each associated with four zodiac signs. The angel is Aquarius, the eagle is Scorpio, the lion is Leo, and the bull is Taurus. Their wings signify stability amidst movement and change, and each holds the Torah, representing wisdom. In the version of the Wheel of Fortune in our deck, the Modern Spellcaster's Tarot, we still do have the giant wheel, but it's perched up in an indeterminate space. It reminds me of a liminal space because the bottom half of the card is white and the top half is black, almost like it's suspended between night and day or between earth and space. On the wheel are inscribed the zodiac symbols, and in the place of the winged creatures are symbols of the four seasons. A daisy for spring, a green leaf for summer, a red maple leaf for autumn, and a snowflake for winter. Above the wheel sits a blindfolded monkey who is perhaps the being that spins the wheel because she's reaching down with an arm and a tail to do something to the wheel, suggesting that she might be responsible for its perpetual motion. The blindfold suggesting that she doesn't know what will happen when she spins it. We do still have the snake, and then I believe the other symbol perched on the wheel is a sphinx. I won't go on. There are other symbols, but I invite you to go and look at the card, which I'll post on Instagram and Twitter. Now, the wheel is typically a very positive card, telling us that it's time to take action, to make a change, and that change is inevitable. It portends good fortune and reminds us that karma is always at work. It underlines that there's harmony in the universe, even if we can't see it. So what do we make of the fact that in our reading, the Wheel of Fortune is telling us that this is something we want less of? Well, here's the thing. The Wheel of Fortune only turns in one direction. You can't turn it backwards. The wheel keeps turning. You can't go back. You have to go forward. In the context of going home again, this makes me think that really in the context of COVID, we can't truly go home again. We can't think about going back to where we were in January or February. Just like you can't unring a bell or you can't unbake a cake, you can't go home to the place you had before. Not only are we in a new world right now, but if you look at all the social problems that are escalating right now, poverty, illness, violence, racism, and even climate change, all of these things were there before, and they're more visible now to some of us than they were before. We can't go back to where we were before COVID because that home just frankly sucked for too many of our siblings around the world. So we have to move forward and recreate a new home that is more peaceful and more sustainable for all of us. Which brings us to the second card, Strength Reversed, number 8 of the Major Arcana. The 8s typically signal a reconnection with an intention in the tarot, an ability to make progress because things have finally moved into place. And one of the interesting things about the 8 is that it also is an infinity symbol, right? The Arabic numeral 8 is the same as the infinity symbol. It's just oriented differently. I point that out because there is a sort of symmetry here between the Wheel of Fortune, which keeps on spinning to infinity. Anyhow, back to strength. In the Rider-Waite-Smith representation of strength, we see a young woman with, you guessed it, an infinity symbol floating above her head, much like a halo, who is dressed in a long white gown that's adorned with garlands, and she's coaxing open the mouth of a lion, which, by the way, is the same being who symbolized courage in The Wizard of Oz. The lion is standing calmly at her feet, his head arched upwards and his mouth open. Basically, the woman, through the strength of her love and kindness, has soothed the fierce lion. His raw strength and violence have been tamed by the woman, and with her calm and loving demeanor, she has taken control of the scene. In the modern Spellcaster's Tarot, the woman is naked and has long, flowing red hair. The woman and the lion are both wearing garlands. They are very harmonious that way, and the woman is riding the lion and holding what appears to be a wand to the sky. In the meantime, there's this fascinating scene going on to the right of the two of them. A snake and some frogs, and actually there are other snakes in the water, are crossing land to the middle of this lake, where there's a brilliant fire and a mysterious glowing orb of some kind in the center of the water. It's a fascinating scene, and I do think its overall message, once again, is that the strength to maintain peace and calm really can bring order and harmony to all things. Now, our strength is reversed, which can mean an inability to control or tame our wild nature, or can signal the feeling or state of being out of control, or can even signal illness. But actually, I think that in connection to something we want more of in our lives as we think about home, I think the flip side of strength, vulnerability, which goes hand in hand with strength, but is actually also required for strength to be truly effective, is what's being pointed at here. What I think of with this reading with respect to strength reversed is that we need to settle into where we are and take care of ourselves and of each other in this place, in this moment. We need to be present, to stay put, and to restore our inner strength for the world that is emerging now. There's no going back to going where we were before, but if we stay put, we can find our inner strength. And once the most difficult moment has passed, we can assess where we want to be and where we want to go. In thinking about all the art and all the sayings about home that I know, I think the thing that comes to mind when I see these cards is that home is where the heart is. And if we sit and truly reflect on all the suffering that is happening right now, some because of COVID and some because of the systems and injustices that were there long before, our hearts will open and we will truly understand that home is the place that we, all human beings, share, our planet. If we stay in the moment and work to make this place comfortable for all of us, we will always feel settled and we will always feel at home. And so with that, I end this week's reading. I sincerely appreciate you for listening, and I hope you got something out of it. I'll share the reading on Twitter and Instagram. Please look for it on my personal account at Call Me River Rose. And if you have questions, comments, and suggestions for me, you can also email me at iamriverrose@gmail.com. If you like what you've heard, I encourage you to leave me a 5-star rating and a review wherever you listen to this podcast, and to share the podcast with your community. I'll see you next Monday. Be well, take care, and remember, when it comes to finding the power to get home, like the wizard says, you've always had the power, my dear. You've had it all along.